Again, welcome to Bar Cop Radio, the most successful internet tequila treehouse in the entire world. We got kind of a clip show for you today. Playing hurt, so I'm trying to minimize the number of clicks and keystrokes, whatever they're called. Let's start off with a new feature, Moment of Arrogance, with this arrogant prick we have stolen into the White House. I'm sure we'll have a lot of moments of arrogance. Here's one of them.
I do not need to explain why I say things. That's the interesting thing about being the president. Maybe somebody needs to explain to me why they say something, but I don't feel like I owe anybody an explanation.
Of course, the truth is he doesn't want to explain because he can't. He's a monkey. He can't think. And it's a lot easier to be arrogant and say I don't have to explain than try to explain. That's what a lifetime of never working a day in his life can do to an arrogant little prick. Next up is a little quote from Rummy. Rummy's going to explain what he knows and what he doesn't know. Take it away, Rummy.
The message is that there are known knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we do not know we don't know. And each year we discover a few more of those unknown unknowns.
Bart Cop Radio will be right back. We now return to Bart Cop Radio.
Holy Jesus, Jimmy Page is truly God of the guitar. Oh, I don't know if you got that new DVD and box set and what all, but, oh, Lord, there's 5 hours of just video on there, and it is spectacular. Did you know that John Bonham sang? I've been a monstrously rabid Led Zeppelin fan for, hell, 30 years, and I had no idea John Bonham sang. But he's on the video. I always assumed it was John Paul Jones. As my anyway, testimony will corroborate. Bonham seems to be the star of this, of both the audio and the video on this. Spectacular. If you ever sort of kind of like Zeppelin when you were a kid, oh, geez, pick this up. I paid $17 for the DVDs and $17 for the CDs at Best Buy. If you don't have $35 to spend on the best live releases from the best band, hard rock band ever, you're probably a Democrat. Okay, our last radio show, The Poetry, was so popular, we got some more for you.
Mother Goose nursery rhyme.
This is crap you got off the internet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mary had a little skirt with splits right up the sides, and every time that Mary walked, the boys could see her thighs. Mary had another skirt. Twas split right up the front. But she didn't wear that very often.
Bart Cop Radio. Damn, did you hear how professional that sounded? Whoever the person or persons are or were who produced that, please contact me. Call the BART phone. Give me your phone number or something so I can talk to you, because I could use about 100 of those. And if I could write goofy shit and you could speak it and make it sound professional, between us, we'd have almost a radio show.
Oh, my God. The dead have risen and are voting Republican.
Geez, the Simpsons have been on the air 12 years, 13 years, and it is still a damn fine and funny show. Okay, next is our old friend Sirdar. He has taken snippets from the past and vocalized them, and here we go.
Bob Dole says, "My first lady won't act like Hillary.
She'll do what Nancy Reagan did.
Gee, what would that be? Get drunk and screw Frank Sinatra?
Speaking of Nancy Reagan, what a hypocrite. Did you know her and Ronnie were into a lot of drugs? Check it out.
Nancy's joining me because the message this evening is not my message, but ours. Despite our best efforts, shortages of marijuana are now being reported. From the early days of our administration, Nancy has been using marijuana on a daily basis, and her personal observations and efforts have given her such dramatic insights that I wanted her to share them with you this evening.
I yearn to find a way to help share the message that drugs open your eyes to life, to see it in the vivid colors that God gave us.
And drug abuse is not a crime. And in the most important area, individual use, we see progress. The U.S. military has more than tripled the use of drugs among its personnel since 1980. And there's one more thing. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin. Our goal is to expand drug trafficking at all levels of government and in the private sector. Help us.
Hey, Bart, this is Corey from Chaska, Minnesota, one of the last states where we still allow liberals to roam free. Just want to call you on Elliot Ness, who said that he died of alcoholism. While it's true that he had an alcohol problem, prohibition was lifted, Elliot Ness did not die of alcoholism. He died of a heart attack, and he kept on fighting the mob long after he put Al Capone in jail. He was put in charge of Vice in Cleveland and went after what is considered the country's first serial killer, the Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run. But because he made so many enemies while he was after Capone during World War II, he was put in charge of telling GIs not to get VD, which he considered a demotion. He considered it humiliating. And a lot of people say that's what caused his health to deteriorate. He actually passed away right before the Untouchables series got started, so he never got to know what a hero he was. And, yeah, he was a hero in my eyes. So keep up the good work, and I'm listening to Bart Cop Radio as we speak. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bart, I have one question and one rant. My question is, what is the story behind, Ann Coulter? What is the story behind the picture of her and Ronald McDonald in Free Fries? I must have missed something else along the line. And please explain this to me. Why does Sean Hannity keep telling the bold-faced lie that Clinton was offered Bin Laden three times? I'm sure it's a lie, but why doesn't that candy ass Alan Combs call him on it? And could you please look into that and explain the logic or the reason, if there is any, behind that? Thanks. Keep up the good work.
It's a known fact, Ann Coulter has been photographed many, many times getting her free fries from the Ronald McDonald statue. Not sure how it got started, you'd have to ask her. As far as the Hannity deal, yeah, Christ, they're still repeating that Clinton got a haircut story. They all know it's false. They all know it's just their way of trying to sound better by making the other guy look worse. It's stupid, it's been disproven, but of course there's no liberal voice in the media, so it's hard to hear the truth.
I'm not afraid.
Shirley? Wow. There's nobody else can do it for me. You know, sometimes when things get too much and there's just so much bullshit, and you turn on the TV or the radio, and you hear them fawning over that unelected moron, the biggest criminal the United States and the world has ever seen, sometimes you just have to get away. So I found that a shot of Chinako, perhaps a little bit of God's best flowers, and little Shirley take you to a place where everything's cool, where your mind just floats, you just kick back, the worries just run away. Of course, when the song or the album's over, you're back, but boy, for a while, you get to go to a better place. All right, what's next? Here's something I'll bet you've never heard, unless you're really old. You'd have to be in your late 40s, early 50s to have a chance. Back in the early 60s, there was a fellow named Von Meader, M-E-A-D-E-R. He was a Kennedy impersonator, and he put out some albums before they murdered him about JFK. And they were mildly amusing, but it's kind of interesting to look back at how the world was 40 years ago, and things were different, things were simpler, and poor Von Meader, I don't guess he's worked a day since November 22nd, 1963, but there was a time when he had some kind of funny stuff. We got two Kennedy things coming, as is often the case, one funny, one not, but let's try the funny one first.
Yes, next question.
Yes, I should like to ask a question regarding the Daily Bag.
Identify yourself, please.
I'm the house nurse.
All right, nurse. Move ahead with your question.
Well, there seems to be some confusion as to the toys to be taken into the bathtub. Now, Caroline's toys are getting mixed up with John's, and I should like to know once and for all whose toys are whose.
Yes, well, let me make a judgment about that now. The following toys have been appropriated for tub use. 18 PT boats, three Yogi Bear beach balls, two Howdy Doody plastic bouncing clowns, a ball of silly putty, and a rubber swan. Now, let me make a judgment on the dispersal of these items. 9 of the PT boats, 2 of the Yogi Bear beach balls, the ball of silly putty belong to Caroline. 9 of the PT balls, 1 of the Yogi Bear beach balls, and the 2 Howdy Doody plastic bouncing clowns are Baby John's. The rubber swan is mine. Time for one final question.
Me, Daddy.
I had my hand up first.
You did not. I had my hand up first.
You did not, Caroline. I had my hand up first.
You did not. I had my hand up first.
Now, I want you youngsters to stop fighting among yourselves. So go ahead, Bobby. I think you were first.
That was from the vast Bart Cop archives of audio and videotape. Got another one for you here. A lot of people don't know that this next piece of tape exists. I put it on the webpage a couple of years ago, and as always, got next to absolutely zero reaction. I think two people wrote and said, "Is that real? You Democrats, you just kill me." But this is Jack Ruby. I don't know when it is. It was broadcast, I believe, in 78. But this is the audio from some film of Jack Ruby looking the camera in the eye, saying that the truth will never come out because the people behind him are too powerful and have too much to lose. Now, this is in Jack Ruby's own voice. It's up to you. I've seen the film. If you're a conspiracy JFK Dallas buff, you've probably seen it too, but Jesus, we live in a society where more than half of the people think Saddam caused 9-1-1, and I'll bet you there's not 1% of this country, I'll bet $100, not 1% of this country has ever even heard that this tape exists, but the tape is real. And when Ruby talks about the powerful people, you have to understand, Ruby had cancer, so whoever, you know, of course, I think BFEE or maybe a precursor, maybe it was Prescott's boys, who knows, but Somehow, they got Oswald to be involved. Maybe someone gave him $100 to take a box up to the sixth floor, and it was a box of flowers or Venetian blinds, wherever he said it was. But that created enough witnesses to say, yes, we saw him before the shooting with a long box in his hand. And then after the shit hits the fan, you know, he's scared. He's on the run. He knows people are going to look at him. So he flees and in desperation or whatever, kills the cop. And now he's in jail. He's facing the death penalty. Christ, it's Texas. So maybe he's in the mood to make a deal or tell what he knows or whatever. So they hire Jack Ruby, who has cancer. Ruby's going to die anyway. So they go to his, they get to Ruby and they tell him, listen, you're going to be dead in 2 years. Why don't you handle this Oswald problem for us so our plans don't get exposed, and we'll give your wife and kids $1 million, so do us this favor. Ruby says, fine, what's he got to lose? He's going to be dead in 2 years, and his family is going to be taken care of. So, but for whatever reason, Ruby makes this tape. He looks right in the camera right in the eye and says, the truth will not come out. And here it is 40 years later, and the truth has not come out. Because America doesn't want to know the truth, and it's up to you whether or not you think. I mean, obviously the Republicans were involved. Who the fuck else is going to shoot a Democrat? Anyway, here's the tape. It's worth what it's worth, but I can guarantee you that it is Ruby speaking. I know what Ruby looks like. I saw the film myself. It was broadcast in 1978, and it still might show up now and then on, like, the History Channel. This is from a program called What We Know Now, But Didn't Know Then.
Before he died, Jack Ruby gave one interview not seen till now on national television.
The only thing I can say, what is your name, and I'll know how to put it.
Harry Kendall.
Harry Kendall. Everything pertaining to what's happening has never come to the surface. The world will never know the true facts of what occurred, my motives. In other words, I'm the only person in the background that knows the truth pertaining to everything relating to my testimony.
Do you think it'll ever come out?
No, because unfortunately, the people have so much to glean and have such an ulterior motive. Put me in a position I'm in. We'll never let the true facts come of their voice to the world.
Now, these people are in very high positions, Jack.
Yes.
Arlington Cemetery, winter 1978. Every season that passes renders the truth about President Kennedy's death at once more remote and more urgent to discover. What we know now but didn't know then made the reopening of the investigation imperative.
This is Bart Cop Radio.
Just a reminder, you need to check out MickRaceley-Silver.com. That's MickRaceley-Silver.com. Mick did that really cool-looking Chinako belt buckle that I had about a week ago posted on the site. And he challenges people to send him something that you don't think he can do. If you go to his website, you might want to check on, let's see what that's called, Past Works. So you go to Mick Rasley, RASLEY-Silver.com, and click on Past Works, and you'll see some of the stuff he's done. He does amazing work. If you have any kind of silversmithing needs, Mick's your man.
Bart Cobb. Freepers tremble at the sound of his name.
Let's check the Bart phone, see who's calling in now.
Yeah, Bart, this is Steve in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I've just read your little interaction with Lee P., who was saying that, talking about the Nuremberg trials at the end of World War II, establishing that the excuse, I was just following orders, is no defense at all. Let me just say this, and let me say up front that I am a 10-year veteran of the United States Navy, having served during the time of Vietnam, although I didn't go there. I have pointed that out, that very thing out to many people. It is our job as citizens, it is our job as the public, to supervise those worthless fucks who get elected. Not, you know, in the case that it is a worthless fuck who gets elected or installed, as the case may be. The soldiers do have a responsibility to examine the orders they're given. They cannot help but do that. And most of the times you do. You go ahead and you do what you're told. You know you don't have the biggest picture. But that won't be an excuse if a war crime trial comes up. Never will that be an excuse. We didn't take it at Nuremberg, and no one's ever going to take it from us. That's why we, the public, have to supervise the fucking idiot. We'll talk.
I've never been in the service, and I'm still confused about this whole taking orders thing. I mean, if you're in wartime and you're being shot at, and your sergeant tells you, shoot that ammo dump, and you look at him and say, but why, Sarge? I need a reason. I can't just follow orders just blindly. I have to have a guy yakety-yakety. I just don't see it. It seems to me if you're given an order in wartime, you've pretty much got to follow it. Now, if he says, strangle the baby, yeah. I mean, at some point, you got to draw a line, but I just don't see every soldier getting a vote on every order. There's chaos. Christ, you got, I don't even know how many men's in a platoon. I know nothing about the military, but let's say there's 30. Sergeant gives an order, and 30 people want to, what, form a commission and kick it around and see? I mean, there's just no time. You're at war. Bullets are flying. People are dying. And like I say, if you're herding people onto a train to go to the death camps, to me, that's a little different. It would be my guess in wartime you follow orders unless you just get the wildest, most extreme order. Like I say, strangle a baby. I mean, in Vietnam, they said there was, you know, 6 and 8, 10-year-old kids walking into platoons, walking into a group of soldiers with hand grenades. So if your sergeant tells you, shoot that 9-year-old, and you don't, and 12 of your friends die, I mean, it's a war. Bad things are going to happen. I don't understand the crux of what makes an order followable and or not followable. Maybe as I get older, somebody will straighten me out.
Hey, Bart, I was calling about your cartoon I see on your site now about the Mother Congress with the little Secretary of Defense begging for his defense bill. Please defend that one on your site. I'll read it on your site. I'll shout you a nasty email. But I would so love to see you defend that one constitutionally. There's nothing in the Constitution about food, shelter, and education, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see what you got to say. I could be wrong. Shoot me down. Knuckle sandwich.
Well, I'm not sure what there is to defend. The cartoon showed Congress holding a placard that said education, spending for the poor, et cetera, and her little boy in the supermarket was screaming, Mommy, Mommy, I want more, and it was Rummy talking about defense. I fail to see what needs to be defended. I'm not saying let's cripple the defense industry and throw a bunch of money at the worthless social programs. That's not what I'm saying. It's just Rummy's appetite seemed to be insatiable. Unless we're going to be attacking mainland China, I don't see why our military needs to be a whole lot bigger. I mean, who's going to take us on? From whom are we defending ourselves? For every billion Rummy gets, you know, the BFEE's getting half. So I think the Defense Department could get by with a little less. So, yeah, if I'm missing the point, get back with me. But you asked me to defend something that I'm not sure there's an offense to defend against. So, anyway, let me know. And now it's time for some stupid and clumsy lies from the vulgar pig boy.
Now, I know, Mr. Sturdley, I know what you're saying here, but you got to understand, this is written as a response to Clinton claiming he needs to run again. You know, he's up there, we need to modify the 22nd Amendment. I don't know if you've heard this or not, folks, but Clinton thinks he needs to modify the 22nd Amendment so presidents can run for 3 terms.
even if you are the most pro-Rush Republican in the United States, you have to admit he lies his ass off constantly. Anyone that read that article, Clinton very clearly said, of course this wouldn't apply to me. I'm talking about future presidents, future generations, whatever. Clinton could not have been more clear in his statement. He said, this doesn't apply to me. So this ignorant pig boy gets up there and says, oh, Clinton's trying so hard to be president again. He knows that's a lie. I know that's a lie. You know it's a lie. Bob Dole knows it's a lie. The American people know it's a lie. But they still put their trust in this stupid pig boy. And you know why? You know how stupid people are? Rush has got this old joke that comes from his San Francisco days, Sacramento, wherever, I don't care. He had an old friend. His name was Sullivan. And as a joke, he cooked up this little bit where he says, the Sullivan Institute back in San Francisco has done extensive research on every word I've ever said, and they have determined that I am factually correct 98.4% of the time. And he always changes that number just a hair to make it look like, oh, the latest numbers came in at 98.6, you know. And these ignorant people, they believe this stupid, lying bastard. It is just incredible. He's the most successful, the most highly paid man in the history of radio, and all he does is sit there and lie his porky ass off. It is just amazing. I would not trade my minimum wage situation for all of Russia's millions if I had to be a dirty, stinking whore and sell every bit of my dignity for $300-400 million. I mean, what are you going to do with the $300-400 million if you just want to shoot yourself in the head every night before you go to sleep? Rush, why do you lie? You know it's a lie. You told it anyway. Clinton could not have been any more clear about that. You're just a lying piece of shit. And I'm going to prove it. By God, we're going to build this radio station higher, and we're going to reach more and more people. And at some point, people are going to say, hey, Rush, I heard this Bart Cop radio guy, and he pointed out, remember how Rush, remember how you said that Clinton wanted to be president again? But he pointed out that Clinton very clearly said, of course, this doesn't apply to me. And I don't have, if I had a staff, I could give the URL where I printed the article. But Rush is a liar. Everybody knows it. Case closed.
Tiger Woods is at the door begging to have the Bart Hex lifted. Bart will be right back.
Afternoons 4 to 7.
Winning the war of liberty over liberalism.
On News Talk 740 KRMG.
Winning the war over liberalism? Horseshit. You're winning the war against sanity. You're winning the war against honesty. The crap that you and the pig boy and O'Reilly and that Michael Wiener boy. Yeah, remind me, we're going to do a special on that Wiener boy. There's got to be a way I can get that piece of shit to sue me. There just has to be. He sued three people in the last 2 weeks, and I'm sorry, but he sued three smaller-than-me websites. That's bullshit. What, I'm too big for him to sue? That son of a bitch. Come after me, big boy. You want a piece of me? Why don't you come into me? Remember The Exorcist? Come into me, piece of crap. Anyway, all you lying bastards, you're all going to get yours. One of these days, I'm going to be in the wrong mood, and you're going to say the wrong thing, and this microphone's going to melt, and there's going to be some people talking about it, but you just keep on. Your time's coming.
They're greedy, they're lazy, they're corporate, and they're crazy. The Bush family evil empire.
Whoever produced that, you have got to call. We have got to do some business, you and I. Tommy Mack was here, I think it was on the 15th, and after we'd been in the Chinako a while, we got into the mailbox and selected the MP3s that people had sent in. And when he heard that one, he said, my God, these are professional people. That is those are professional singers or DJs with professional equipment sending you stuff. I can't believe the reach you've got. There are piles and piles of these, tons and tons, whatever, but there's just no time. I mean, if I had 2 weeks off, I could go through the pile and put these promos here and those promos there and the songs here and the bumpers there, and I'm just doing what I can to catch up, picking and grabbing one. You know, if it looks good, I put a Z on it to remember that that's a good one. But yes, please, please call the BART phone so we can get together. Your work can make this radio so much better. This radio program would sound almost professional if it wasn't for the idiot DJ. But you could do a whole lot towards forwarding this show into the future. Please call 918-493-1500. Let's do some business. Do you know the singer Jewel, J-E-W-E-L? She's been around, seems like, forever, maybe 10 years. And she's possibly one of the prettiest women in, I don't know if you call it rock and roll, but in non-country, I don't know. She's a looker, and she's been around forever. But funny, I can't name any of her songs. She's just one of those stars that's always been there. But she mostly does these kind of poetry, coffee house kind of songs, and who cares? But she's got a new song out, and it's very strange. It might even be Middle Eastern kind of leaning or something. And true to form, I don't know the name of the song. It's a striking song. I'm going to play about a minute of it here, maybe less. But it's the kind of song that grabs you so much on the first listen that I have a feeling maybe after 10, 12 listens, it kind of grabs you the wrong way. But check out a little bit of Jewel. This is from last night's Tonight Show. You see, I keep getting mail saying, Bart, we love the radio show, but there's just not enough music. No, I know, you people just hate that music. But you just can't do an hour of outrage. I mean, I can't. Let's talk for just a second about the Dixie Chicks. I'm not going to play any, but I just want to talk about it. Yesterday, the BFEE continued their savage rape of the American landscape when Congress passed this bill that allows Rupert Murdoch to own everything. And if you want to know one reason, maybe the biggest reason, why this is bad for America, bad for everybody, and I saw these half-assed, bullshit, phony baloney debates where they get some mealy-mouthed nobody who doesn't know what they're talking about up there against, you know, the former FCC commissioner who's working for the BFEE, of course. And it was always such a horrible argument, but if you want to just, you know, a lot of times you put something in boiling water, you break it down, you simmer it down, you thicken it up, whatever. Quickest way to get to the end of this FCC debate is to look at what they did to the Dixie Chicks. One bastard at Clear Channel decided he didn't like what the Dixie Chicks singer said, so he banned the Dixie Chicks from 1,200 radio stations. That enabled the Good Puppy Press to scream the headlines, Dixie Chicks banned in America. And to a great extent, that was true. You know, in this teeny tiny K-Drag, Oklahoma, there are 6 Clear Channel stations in this little bitty town. And one of them is not the Rush Laura station. In just little tiny Tulsa, Oklahoma, Clear Channel owns 6 stations. This is the stranglehold they have on the airwaves. The idea that one bastard or one table of bastards can break someone's career, that is just wrong. I don't care about the Dixie Chicks. I like what they said about Bush, but, you know, to me it's a country band. But the idea that one little group could throw them out of show business, that's not what America is all about. And the idea, I'm driving around yesterday, I hear these horrors. I heard a Clear Channel station explaining the situation. They said Congress passed a bill that would allow the media to reach more people. Oh, how sweet. Oh, geez, it's like they're broadcasting in Peking or Beijing or something, and now, ooh, they can reach more people. It was never about reaching more people. It's about the Walmartization of America, when Walmart moves into town, the Wilson Tire Store goes out of business. Bobby's Fruit Stand is no longer. Mary's Clothing Store has to go out. I mean, it just, if Walmart decides not to sell something, it doesn't get sold. I know a guy who went to lunch. I know Arky people. I know a guy who went to lunch with a Walmart buyer or vice president something, and he said, I'd like to sell you some cat litter. And the guy said, okay, what's the deal? He gave him, they talked about cat litter for a minute, and he said, okay, we'll do it. When they left that lunch, the guy with the cat litter was at least a millionaire, maybe multi-multi, but he made some kind of deal with Walmart to sell them bags of kitty litter. But Walmart, with their billion stores, you know, they can agree to buy, what, 1,000 bags of kitty litter a week for a billion stores. That's a trillion bags of kitty litter. Even if this guy's making 2 cents per bag, he's suddenly a billionaire. I mean, I'm not trying to prevent Walmart from doing business, but the idea they can mow into town, ruin everybody, and then leave, that's the other thing Walmart does. They go into these small towns, they run all the mom and pops out of business, and then if the store is only making $50 million a year and they want it to make $52 million a year, they shut it down. Now here's this town sitting there, it's broke. They don't have the clothing store, they don't have the tire store, they don't have the fruit stand. It just ought not to be this way. But when the BFEE takes over and when the BFEE owns the press and the airwaves, you're not going to hear any other side of the story, which is another reason why you and your friends ought to be subscribing to BartCop.com, BartCop Radio, because can't nobody shut us up. The only thing that can shut us up is if people cancel their subscriptions. Then I go back to the car lot, and we get a constant diet of Rush and Hannity, and there you go. I mean, I'm not kidding myself, and I don't want to kid you or anything, and I'm going to be the voice of the opposition. It's just, maybe if somebody sees me have some modest success, they might do it better. They might have some more money. They'll obviously be smarter. They'll have a better voice. They might have a team behind them where they can produce quality shows on a daily basis, which we'll get there someday. Anyway, those are good reasons to subscribe to BartCop.com, BartCop Radio, and it's an alternative view that you're not going to hear on the Bush-owned Good Puppy Press. Okay, it's time to shut down show number 3. Hopefully you thought it was better than 2. Had to be better than 1. We're getting better. We're going to be faster, too. Going to close out with my good, good friend, American Stranger. This is, I believe, him on all instruments. It's a song called Oil Wars. You might like the song. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll have another show for you soon. Take it away, Stranger.
From our bought and paid for whores, you can hear it all. Turn on your television, it can take you right. Is that not just a teaser? So don't ask us why, cause we don't need a reason as we all march up to fight to keep our country free. You know that we'll defend your right to drive your SUV. There's an enemy that we can often score on, and it's all the rage. So come and get your war on.